When we expend negative energy towards others and the world around us, we push ourselves further away from our own success. Welcome to Wealthy Thoughts with your host, Richard Levy. Our show provides a positive blueprint to what you could be doing in order to bring more success to your life. Now, here is Richard Levy.
Warm greetings to you, ladies and gentlemen, in the United States and all around the world, in California and in Flower Mound, Texas. This is Richard Levy, and you're listening to Wealthy Thoughts. We talk about the thoughts, feelings, beliefs, and actions you need to take to live a rich, abundant, happy life, did I say? Yes, I did. In fact, today, ladies and gentlemen, happiness is our topic. Regardless of your position and place in life, society, income, or what type of relationship you might or might not be in, my guest today is going to share many thoughts and ideas with you on how you can become happier, live a happier life, and share your happiness with others, one of the most marvelous gifts you can give. My guest today, dear friends, is Rebecca Norrington. Rebecca's intention is to share with you how to remain happy in every moment, regardless of your circumstances. It is also Rebecca's intention to teach you how to set your personal vibration to internal peace at all times. Rebecca says, and I quote, "As far back as I can remember, I've consistently asked the universe for two things. One, to live to my potential, and two, to be happy." Ladies and gentlemen, I think you're going to join me and find out and realize Rebecca is living this and much more in one beautiful, happy life. Dear friends, please join me now in warmly welcoming Rebecca Norrington to Wealthy Thoughts. Hi, Rebecca. Welcome to the show, and thank you for being with us today. How are you, and how are you feeling today?
Oh, good question. Well, listen, thank you so much, Richard, for inviting me. It is an honor and a privilege to be on your show, and hopefully I'll be able to share what I had to learn the hard way, and that is how to experience more happiness in life. And it is possible, regardless of what's going on, regardless of what you think is a disaster, or, oh my goodness, how do I ever get past all of it, how to live and how to experience more happiness. It's all a choice in every single moment.
Interesting. And ladies and gentlemen, before we even get into the show, did you catch what Rebecca just shared with you? It's all a choice. That's a key word. She'll talk about that. We'll bring that up, but it is a choice you have. Well, what choice did you have? What did life teach you? What did you go through that you could share with our audience, dear Rebecca, that brought you into the state of happiness? Would you share with us what happened, please?
Yes, I will. Well, I was listening to your intro, and I love your intro. You said wealthy thoughts, and you talked about having more success in your life and how to live a rich, abundant life. And the interesting thing is all of these labels, rich, abundant, success, all of those labels, what I found is that I have to define what I think is rich, what I think is abundant, what I think is successful. So that's number one. But when I was younger, and you touched on it a little bit earlier, when I was younger, I was searching for, I have to say, I wasn't, there are, you know, people that have traumas in their lives or something happens in an event and just kind of puts them on this path. But I have to say that I was looking for, searching for a feeling for ever since I can remember, even as a young teen. And the feeling was to feel good. I want to feel good. And I put the label of happiness on it. I want it to be happy. So, yeah, I wanted to live to my potential, and I wanted to be happy. You know how when you're celebrating your birthday and you blow out your candles on your birthday cake and you make a wish. Well, I always wished for the same two things. And the living to my potential, yeah, I didn't know what that was going to mean or what it's going to look like. But this wanting to be happy, I definitely knew how I wanted to feel, and I wanted to feel good. I wanted to feel good. I wanted to feel good about my life. I wanted to feel good about that person in the mirror. And what I used to do, Richard, was, let's see if you relate to any of this, I used to look for happiness in a relationship, in getting married, in achieving, in getting a title, and in my job, how much was I making? Where was I living? What kind of car was I driving? How much weight do I have to lose? All of that, I thought that if all of those things fell into place, then of course I'm going to be happy, right? You marry Prince Charming, you live happily ever after, you get the job of your dreams, you live happily ever after, you're happy. And I found out, my dear Richard and his wonderful audience, that that is not where happiness lives. Happiness, without an exception, comes from within. And that's why I say it doesn't matter what's going on. If you're feeling a little irritated, annoyed, not satisfied, dissatisfied, all it is to look, a quick look in the mirror, and figure out what's really going on inside. And that's the beginning.
Fabulous. So a lot of our audience then, Rebecca, can relate to your story and your explanation where you wanted to, as a young lady, a young girl, young lady, a teen, adult, woman, you're looking to feel good, feel happy, feel good. And a lot of us probably went the same route as Rebecca. Can you and the audience relate to this? That through marriage, in her case, Prince Charming, Mr. Perfect, or the Mrs. Perfect, the other way around. Money, how much money does it take to become happy? She took all the right reasons. Rebecca was on that mission to find happiness. And as she said, when she looked in the mirror at her pretty face, and when you look at her website, we'll give you the website in a moment, ladies and gentlemen, Rebecca is extraordinarily beautiful. She's beautiful on the inside. And that comes from this positive energy that she's talking about and that we all feel right now. So that's so wonderful. So you came about a realization, it's not the guy, it's not the dough, the money, it's not the status. It comes from within. Is that what you're saying, Rebecca?
Well, you summed it up perfectly, Richard. That's exactly what I'm saying. And I like to use the analogy of, okay, so we're you're standing out, you're standing in the middle of the ocean. You're on a boat. You're standing up in this small little boat, a boat just for one person. Because that's another thing about happiness. Happiness, the formula for happiness, doesn't include anybody else. Except for you, the person in the mirror, the individual. So you're standing out in the middle of the ocean, and you know how the ocean, sometimes it's a little rocky, sometimes it's calm, but it's always changing. And so what I like to say is I like to be able to stand in the middle of that boat, in the middle of the biggest storms, in the middle of a hurricane, if you will, and still feel centered, calm, trusting, knowing that everything is in order and that I am being taken care of, and everything that is happening, regardless of what I can look and say, oh, this is a disaster, I know that it's all there for a reason, and it's there to teach me, to get me to another level of awareness, another level of consciousness. All of my challenges have a reason, and they're all there to assist me in growth, personal growth, spiritual growth. So all of our challenges are there for a good – they're actually gifts in disguise.
Uh-huh. Well, do you feel the – can you visualize, ladies and gentlemen, the metaphor that Rebecca Norton just mentioned? She visualizes herself in a boat in the middle of the ocean, in the middle of the biggest hurricane, typhoon, whatever you want to call it, you could imagine, yet she's choosing to see what is the lesson, well, how can she grow? How can she get to the next level? And Rebecca, for the lady or gentleman who's listening to the show and is having, and I'm going to just throw out either a financial challenge in their lives and or a relationship challenge, and they're not feeling so good, what would you coach them on to help feel better about themselves? One thing you threw out was, what is the lesson for this? How can I get to my next level of spirituality? Any other thoughts that you could pass on to the listener?
Oh, yes, yes. Are you kidding? We only have an hour? Listen, I could talk about being happy for a whole week and not stop. That's how deep this topic is, because it's more than just feeling good in the moment. So let me share something. If any of your listeners are going through challenging finances, health, relationship issues, there is one thing that I do that it works in an instant. It works as quick as you blink your eyes. It works as quick as you snap your finger. But it takes practice, and that is, are you ready for this one? You ready?
Ready. I'm ready. You ready, audience? Let's hear it. Let's hear it. What do you have?
I think the audience is ready. This is all you have to do. There's 360 degrees in a circle, and I say that there's 360 ways that you can shift your perspective in an instant. And let me give you a perfect example. When you shift your perspective, and your perspective is always a choice. So you can focus on what you think is wrong, or you can focus on, like I said earlier, the lesson. There was a woman, I actually have a radio show also. It's on every Saturday and Sunday morning, a little quick plug at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And it's called Reality Spirituality. And a woman called into my show, and she was complaining about a job that she just got. She said, this was my dream job. She said, it was the perfect job. She says, the only thing that's the only problem is I have to drive. She said, it's like an hour and 15 minutes one way. So she called in. She says, you know, I waited months to get this job. I got the job, and now that I have it, I love it, but the drive is killing me. I thought I could do it. I thought I could make it work, but it's really bothering me. I'm going to have to quit this job because I'm too miserable. It's too much time. So I asked her, and I said, is there another way to look at the same situation? Nothing's changed. Favorite job. She's still driving an hour and 15 minutes. Nothing's changed. But is there another way to look at the same situation so that you can find what's good in what's going on? What's good in the hour and a half or an hour and 15 minute drive? Is there a way to look at that so you can see something positive? So this is now she's thinking another way. And she says, well, I guess the hour and 15 minutes, I could use that to meditate. I could use that to be quiet. She said, and then I could use that time to connect with people that maybe I haven't talked to on the phone. Of course, you know, Bluetooth, you're not talking. Yeah, to talk to people and to catch up. And then I said, is there anything else that you can think of that would shift your perspective as opposed to looking at it, what a horrible position I'm in, as opposed to looking at it, okay, this it's all good. And she tried to think of another one. I said, how about this? Now you can teach other people. Now you are the example of some of teaching other people of how to shift your perspective. Now you can share and you can teach other people that you can look at the same situation one way, or you can have a myriad of ways of looking at it. And it's all about practicing. I don't know about you, Richard, but when I was younger, nobody taught me how to shift my perspective if I didn't like what I was experiencing. Did you ever get that lesson?
No. You and I came out the same road, more or less. And you and I did this on our own and through other great teachers. Nope, didn't know that one. I picture that. I can see this lady I love this story on the hour and a half, or hour 15, hour and a half commute, whatever, which was drudgery, and she's thinking of chunking the job, and you gave her an option. And I want to ask you about that and emphasize that, but I would like to briefly tell the audience, if you, ladies and gentlemen, wherever you are, you would like to call in, ask Rebecca Norrington a question. The area code in the U.S. is 646-652-2293. That's 646-652-2293. If you're calling from outside the United States, put a 001 in front of all of that. Rebecca, and ladies and gentlemen, if you have noticed, Rebecca is very articulate, and she's very warm, and she has a great energy. She does have a fantastic radio show, as she mentioned a moment ago. We're going to talk more about that later, reality, spirituality. You're going to want to tune in, and we'll give you some detailed information about that shortly. Rebecca, I just love this point of this woman who had a good job, but she was very feeling negative, bad about the long job, the long drive, the commute. And you started that conversation with the 360 degrees in a circle to shift your perspective. That is, she, the lady, is taking that responsibility to shift her perspective. It's nobody outside of her. So she feels empowered by changing perspective. And you gave her option number one of perhaps 1 million options. One, you mentioned, with safety and a courtesy to use perhaps her Bluetooth, talk to people she didn't talk to, meditate, spirituality, obviously taking great caution for safety. But she has other options during this drive than feeling bad and complaining and moaning and groaning. And that's a lesson for all of us in life. There may be another way to look at it, and we are being responsible for what, ladies and gentlemen? Our own happiness. Did I get that kind of right on that, Rebecca?
No, you didn't get it kind of right. You got it right on. Bullseye. Bullseye.
Thank you.
Let me say this. I teach a class that's called The Importance of Happiness, and the same title of this show right now, The Importance of Happiness. And on the first day of class for I've actually taught it three times. I have three certain sessions. And on the first day of class, I hand out a package, and it's wrapped. It's actually wrapped in a gift with a little bow. And I tell my students, I said, in this package, you have the answers to all of your problems, to all of your issues, to all of your challenges, to everything that bothers you. The answer to all of your problems are in this little package, in this package, for the rest of your life. Of course, the students can't wait to open it and tear it up. And guess what's in it, Richard? Do you have any idea?
Something that empowers them, something that makes them feel good.
Yeah, well, let's say this. I don't know if it feels good right away because it's a little uncomfortable, but it definitely is empowering. And so what I give to everyone on the first day of class, and this is it, the answer to all of your angst, to all of your anxiousness, to all of your sadness, to all of that, I gave them a mirror.
I love it.
With that mirror, so you're right, it is very empowering. I have the power, the choice, to choose which emotions I want to experience. And if I am, for whatever reason, a little annoyed or a little irritated, yes, the happiness specialist that I am can become annoyed and irritated at times, but I still know that that irritation and that annoyance is never directed to anything that's happening. It's not directed at traffic. It's not directed at somebody on the customer service. It's not directed at my mother, who quite frankly is one of my biggest challenges. I'm sure we all
understand.
Can relate to that. And so it's always that person in the mirror. It's always now. Do I want to look and say, okay, it's all my fault? I'm blaming myself for everything. Sometimes people don't want to accept that responsibility, and then they go back to blaming other people and circumstances for how they feel. But that is just a fallacy, and it's just not the truth.
Well, the mirror is so beautiful. What a great gift. And it for us to become responsible for our thoughts and our feelings and emotions, because the buck starts and stops with us. And when we look into the mirror, that's the person who has responsibility for the thoughts and the feelings. And ladies and gentlemen, you really don't want it any other way. You really don't want to depend on anybody else out there. What did Rebecca say at the top of the show? You could have billions and millions and billions, the greatest looking partner that's ever walked on the planet, and the biggest house, and the biggest yacht. Is that going to make the happiness machine turn on? Not really. Is it enjoyable? It could be. We didn't say that. But what we said is, in terms of feeling the happiness, as we're talking about today, the importance of happiness, it starts with you. So, Rebecca, when you have your seminars, the importance of happiness, you hand out this gift, this box, and everybody's wondering what's going to be inside of there, and it's the mirror. What kind of reaction do you see in those first seconds, one, two, and three, when they look at the mirror? What's their face expression, facial expression, when you see this?
Well, it depends on the person. It depends on the person. Some people smile and they like it, and then other people, quite frankly, don't understand that you have control over how you're feeling. Let's get some real brass tacks, because one of the things that I do is I'll tell you everything that adds to happiness and everything that subtracts from happiness. Hey, Richard, I have a question for you. What if I told you that I could make sure that you are never disappointed or your heart will never be broken for the rest of your life? I have that answer right now. If you practice this, you will never be disappointed and you will never have your heart broken forever. If you just did one thing, you want to know what it is?
I'd love to. I'm open. All ears, Rebecca, please.
Well, I'll tell you later. No. No, it is eliminating, getting rid of, having zero expectations. All expectations, every single expectation, I don't care what it is, subtracts from your happiness. All expectations.
This is beautiful. Would you please go into that? Because I'm tuned in metaphorically, emotionally to my audience, and you got their attention, because most people have expectations, and you're saying let go of your expectations. Would you please elaborate on that, Rebecca Norrington?
Yes. Let go of all your expectations. Let go of all your expectations right now. You want to be happier? Have zero expectations. And let me explain a little bit more. One of the things that I can only speak for myself, one of the things that I used to do a lot is somebody was labeled, I had a label of a husband, I had a labeled boyfriend, I labeled somebody a mother, I labeled somebody a coworker. Well, with all of these labels, that's another thing. All labels subtract from happiness also. So labeling anything requires a judgment. Good, bad. Good, bad. And so that's why all labels subtract from happiness. Let me go back to the expectations. So I have a mom, and because she is my mom, I expect her to behave in a motherly way. I'll give you a really, really quick, and I've shared this before on my show, but in 2007, I was disinherited. My mother disinherited me. It was about a year and a half before my father died, maybe 2 years before he died. And my father was, at the last 5 years of his life, had a mental he had dementia, so mentally he wasn't all there. And for reasons that were valid to my mom, as I tried to control her, I tried to take over the finances, because in my opinion she was wasting money trying to control her, because my father wasn't able to step in, so I'm taking his place. And so she says, you know what, I don't need your 2 cents, I don't need you butting into my business. You're disinherited. Can you imagine?
No.
Number one, my shock, my hurt, yeah. my dismay. And I honestly, Richard, I was shook to my core, because how could she do that? How, you know, now I had an expectation that that she would never do anything like that. She would never behave like that. But who am I to have expectations about somebody else's behavior right off the bat? And what I came, you know, focusing on what's good as opposed to what's bad, what happened is because of that, there was a lot of freedom because there's not that carrot of, oh, you got to say a certain thing, make sure you're in good, you know, in your good graces and you'll get your inheritance. Now all that's out the window. Now I can be myself. The relationship with my mother got even deeper. There was an understanding because I could be honest. I could be free. There wasn't anything hanging over me. But this is the key. The key is she didn't disinherit me. The universe disinherited me to get all those lessons, to get me to a place where I grew, where the relationship grew, and now I'm a different person. And I needed to be disinherited.
Amazing story. And you're saying this is the message, the lesson from the universe that your mother verbally said you're disinherited, Rebecca, but you're saying the universe is the one that created the situation for to detach from your mother and become a real Rebecca. The real Rebecca is rising and shining.
You are absolutely right. See, things that happen to us, in my opinion, it's all the universe. It's all a divine plan. And so if it is a divine plan, if it is a plan and there are no mistakes and everything is unfolding exactly the way it's quote-unquote supposed to, which is what I believe, then guess what? I'm okay with all of it. And I've had to do something that, Richard, is one of the hardest things in my life. If you knew me, I mean, I was this person, very, very, I was out there, very assertive, very aggressive, very opinionated, if you can tell. And what I had to do was let go of all of it and trust that, number one, trust, which is really difficult, trust blindly, and then totally surrender to whatever is happening, whatever has happened, and whatever will happen in my life, and know that it's a greater plan that I could ever even have created myself.
Rebecca, and please answer this as you, on your comfort level, and we all are understanding. Here we are in late to almost autumn, or late summer of 2015. What is the relationship like with your mother as of now, in a few words?
Ooh, in a few words, Richard, it is the best relationship ever. She calls me all day. I call her. I tell her I love her. She loves me. She's my biggest fan. And she reinstated me last year without me having to do one thing. Listen, when it first happened, I was angry. I was going to call lawyers. You know, she got my father to sign, even though he was mentally not capable. All this, I was in a rage. And then the universe, and when I really figured out, like I said, it was 2007. It's 7 years ago. And now, actually, when I was on the phone on this interview with you, she called. We are closer than I've ever been with her. She's the only person in my life who will pick up the phone every single time I call. I mean, some people, even my own son, doesn't pick up the phone every time I call. I mean, I have to leave a message. But she's the only person that's like that. And so the universe just used her. Like the universe uses everything to create who I am now. If I didn't have that experience, I wouldn't be who I am, where I am right now, with my trust level.
What's your mom's first name?
Her name is Marcel.
Marcel, we love you. We embrace you. And you've gone through your journey. And we thank you for bringing Rebecca into the planet, who's blessing us right now with some great words. And you're touching a lot of people out there. And if, ladies and gentlemen, wherever you are, you'd like to talk to Rebecca Norrington, the happiness expert, please call in at area code 646 646-652-2293. That's 646-652-2293. I loved what you talked about. I'm going to backtrack just a second on the lady who was driving to work, and then we're going to come back to you and your mom because you brought up a couple gems there that I think the audience really needs to get. You've explained it very well. The lady who was driving to work, who's has a great job, an hour, 15, hour and a half commute, that was drudgery, you gave her, suggested to find something nice, something good, something positive, and she did. And then you said to us on the air, if the lady did discover a good feeling of happiness, joy, and still was able to obviously keep working where she liked to work, that was her passion, I think, teach this to others, share it to others. Did you say something like that a moment ago,
yes.
Rebecca?
Yes, I said teach others
talk
how
about
to.
That.
Yeah, this is the thing. You want to change the world. It's really very simple. We all have the power to change the world right now. Mm-hmm. And the way we do that is when we grow and when we change. See, when I change and when I grow and when I accept, which is a real big one, accept, I'll have to talk about acceptance. When I grow, guess what? The world changes. My vibration is lighter and more airy. The world experiences my change, my shift. So we can change the world, but it's one person at a time, that person in the mirror. You know, it's easy to look out and see, find what's wrong with the world, but I look out and I only find good. Because I'm only focusing on good, and I'm focusing on good for a reason. You know, when this world began, what, billions of years ago, 8 billion, 500 billion, who knows, I don't know, but the Earth went through a lot of changes. It went through being frozen. It went through a fire. It went through, all of the land stuck together and all the land's ripped apart. All of it's very traumatizing. A lot of stuff happened for this Earth to, now we have life and we have this enriched community of humans. But everything happens. You look back on it and you see the world, the earth exploding with fire coming out of it. Is that a good or is that bad? It's neither or neither, whichever is correct. It's just an experience. So, in other words, when you look at something, you look at it as the experience without the judgments and without the labels. That will add to your happiness as well.
So many of us have been brought up in families just the opposite. And maybe you were as a young Rebecca growing up, where you're sitting at the dinner table and you're a young girl, for God's sake. You're 7, 8, 9, and 4 years old, and you hear the big people, that is, people taller or bigger than you physically because you're young, labeling, opinionated about Fred and Carol, the good, the bad, about Fred or Carol, or about a government or political party or relatives. And you're bombarded with judgments and labels and opinions on people. And that's not necessarily the recipe for happiness. Is that basically what you're saying, Rebecca?
Not necessarily the recipe. It is the opposite of the recipe for happiness.
Okay.
And you brought up a perfect point. This is so perfect, Richard, because, yes, I was brought up in an environment where, quite frankly, was a lot of rules, very rigid, taught, quote, right from wrong, talk about political parties, which one is better than the other one. They're not good. This one's good. That one's not good. All of that, excuse me, my language, all of that crap. However, this is right now, we each have a responsibility to unlearn what we've learned. See, judging, I was taught, a year and a half, two-year-old child doesn't judge a person. A two-year-old child doesn't look in the mirror and doesn't like what they see. a two-year-old child isn't looking to blame everybody for their feelings, is not pointing the finger at other a two-year-old child. So we learned all it didn't have doesn't have expectations of their parents or even the next moment. See, we all learned all of these things, and now it's just me with your audience and as many have listened to start unlearning what we learned, because quite frankly, what I learned subtracts from happiness, subtracts from my peace, subtracts from being content. Blaming, complaining, negative feelings, looking at somebody and thinking, oh, this is another one. If you look at anybody and say you get angry or you're annoyed by somebody and you're using them as an excuse, they said something or they did something, now you're angry, you can't blame anybody for how you're feeling. Whatever you label somebody else, whether you want to label them arrogant, you want to label them selfish, you want to label them inconsiderate, guess what? You are all of those words that you're pointing your finger at someone else. You can't call anybody else a name without owning it yourself.
Wow. Rebecca,
yeah, that's a hard
that's
one.
A
that's a hard one.
One. But it's beautiful, and I'm going to repeat it. So for the audience, and please correct me, that when fictitious person George says that Carol or Sam, a fictitious people, is a bad person, they shouldn't dress in these type of clothes or they shouldn't speak that way. Well, the person making those labels, is that defines that person making the labels, that they are that type of person who
That's
says,
right.
Is that right? Okay. Now, let me ask you this. So real life, out of your seminar. By the way, before I pose this next question to you, for the audience who's becoming very interested and curious about you, Rebecca Noynton, they want to look on your website. It's just that simple, ladies and gentlemen. Rebecca Noynton, NORRINGTON.com is her website, and you'll see one beautiful woman and her radio show, which we're going to talk more about a little bit later on, realityspirituality.com, and that radio show is live every Saturday and Sunday at 7 a.m. Pacific time, and she's going to talk more about that in a moment. But let's say that in real life, not in your seminar out there, that the importance of happiness, but I'm going to put you at the store or you're at a cocktail party and you're standing next to a man and or a woman and they're becoming judgmental and opinionated and labeling people. How do you handle yourself when you're around this type of person or persons, people?
You should see me now. I've got a really big smile on my face and my gums are showing. What a great question. I don't think anybody's ever asked me that question before, but that is a great, great question. Because, quite frankly, I'm around the majority of the people love to make judgments. And what I used to do, Richard, I used to look at those people that were so judgmental, and I would have a scowl on my own face, and I would say, oh, those people, they don't know any better. They're subtracting from their happiness. They don't even get it. They're not supposed to judge. And guess what? I was judging them, judging people.
Powerful. Good, powerful, down-to-earth, real statement there, Rebecca.
And so what I had to do, which comes to the word that I called, that I said earlier, and this is the magic word, and this is one of the hardest. Because, listen, this being happiness is not a skip in the park. It takes practice. You know, I like to say, if you want to play Carnegie Hall, you're a violinist and you want to play Carnegie Hall, well, you just don't walk on there and get your audition and you start playing. Same thing with happiness. It's practice. It's practice in every single moment. In other words, it has to be your foundation. It has to be, for me, it is my foundation. It is. It's like a temperature gauge. You know, you turn on your temperature. You want it at 60 degrees, 70 degrees, 80 degrees. It has to be your number one priority. When you're really serious about being happy, it has to be number one. And what I do now is when I encounter judgmental people, I accept them because they are doing exactly what they are doing. They don't know any better. They don't know that judging is subtracting from their happiness. And if they did know that judging is subtracting from their happiness and they really knew that for sure, I don't think people would do it. Maybe some would. Maybe some still would, but because it's such a habit. But accepting people the way they are, just the way they are, not trying to change them, not wanting them to be different, not wanting them, I've had to do a lot of accepting on my mother, not wanting them to do anything different and just be themselves is something else that I have to practice all the time. And the only reason why I cannot accept another person, do you know why I can't accept anybody? You know the only reason why I can't accept somebody?
What? Curious.
Take that first lesson, because I'm not accepting myself.
Whoa, powerful one. Powerful one.
When I am looking in the mirror and I accept everything about me, all of the things I've heard, all the things that maybe I don't really like, or all the things that that could be a little different universe. I could be a little different here. I could have accomplished a little. No, total acceptance. When I accept myself, it's easy to accept everyone else.
So when you accept yourself and look yourself in the mirror, because you could look in the mirror, Rebecca, as pretty as you are, and start finding your a fault, a blemish, a pound here, a memory of what your mother said about you, about what anybody said to you, you could become a Mrs. Critical. On the other hand, you have a choice of acceptance of Rebecca, of who you are in the mirror, a beautiful, fantastic person, imperfect, but great person. And this acceptance of you helps you to then accept the person at the cocktail party who's going to tirade, a very judgmental tirade about a political party or another person at the party, etc.
Yes, and I'm going to throw something else out there. You said imperfect. No, I don't believe in anybody being imperfect. I think we're all perfect. Perfect, and the only thing is just, hey, we're just people ready to grow. But imperfections, no, that means that there's something off, that the universe, because the universe doesn't create imperfection. That's just my opinion. That's just me really quick.
I love it. No, to talk about that. That's fascinating. That's a very empowering statement, that
and
we're all perfect as we are.
Yeah, we are perfect. And see, that's the thing, accepting all of it. You said a couple of things, and I want to address it, Richard, because they were really important. You said, and I'm getting chills now. I always get chills when I hear the truth, or I speak the truth, or I'm sharing the truth. I'm just chilled all up. My body's all. But you said something about critical. I grew up in a family that, and again, they didn't know any better. I'm just stating what my experience, where grades were very important. If I brought home a B, why wasn't it an A? If it was an A-, why wasn't it an A+? So I grew up in an environment of being very, very critical. And what I found was I was my biggest critic. I could criticize myself, and I could spend a life criticizing what I did, what I didn't do, what I couldn't accomplish, what I should have. And I'm telling you right now, that's why I said perfect. I am so over being critical of myself. And that's another thing. When you criticize others, it's only because you're critical of yourself. And I'm done with it. I spent most of my life being critical of myself, and now I'm going out, wow, everything I do, I get an A+. I don't care if I'm doing nothing, I get an A+.
I love it. I love it. So the people who are criticizing others, and you're a recovered criticizer, we all are to one degree or the other, it's really a statement that of what is going on in our inner self. We're criticizing ourselves.
That's right, because happy people don't criticize other people. You can't complain and be happy at the same time. You can't criticize somebody and be happy at the same time. You can't.
You happy can't criticize.
Don't criticize. Yeah, happy
keep
people
going.
Don't
keep
criticize.
Going.
Happy people don't judge. Happy people don't blame. Happy people, you can feel it. Happy people don't get angry at somebody else and blame circumstances. Happy people, all they want to do, like you said earlier, is be happy, be content, grow, share, change the world. That's how you change it. You change it by being having this energy of contentment, not having this energy of unrest.
Well, when you are holding your workshop on the importance of happiness and you give that special gift, they open it up and get the mirror. Does sometime a student in your class, a man or woman, look in the mirror and the range is anything from glee and happiness, what they see in the mirror, to criticism, and then you need to coach them on what we're talking about today?
Yeah. You know, like I said, everybody's different, so we all have our unique perspective on life. I say we're as different as our fingerprints, and that is really the key. We are so different. It's like looking at the stars and wanting the stars to be the same. One of the things that I used to do is I would want people to think like me because, of course, the way I thought was perfect and was right.
Mm-hmm.
My opinions
mm-hmm.
were always spot on. So I would criticize and look at other people and why aren't they thinking like me? My way is the best way, and I've come to accept that there's millions of ways to look at the same situation. If you have millions of people, you're going to have millions of perspectives.
Wonderful. All right. Well, let me ask you this, Rebecca. What do you do in the morning when you wake up? You're a very energetic woman. You're enthusiastic. You have happiness. We feel your energy. What do you do to start your day off that you would like to share with the audience about in terms of meditations or whatever you do that works for you, please?
Good question. Well, so there you go. And I want to say this again to your audience. Find, you know, I have suggestions, but you really have to find what works for you, what works for that person in the mirror. And I'm going to say something that not a lot of people say, but it's just true for me. This, you know, you're about meditation. Meditation is great. Changed my life. Meditation. Yeah. Well, guess what? I don't meditate traditionally. I don't sit and I don't close my eyes and I don't do the Om. I meditate while I'm in the shower. I meditate, and when I say meditate, I just get in tune. It's like talking on the. It's actually like talking to you on the phone, except for the person that or the energy that I'm talking to is the universe. So I have one-on-one conversations in the shower, or if I'm driving, or if I'm on the bus. A lot of times I take the bus to and from my office. And so this traditional meditating is just not me. At least it's not me right now. So I want you to share with your audience that, number one, I'd like you all to realize that you are different and you are unique. If it feels good to you, if it fits, if the shoe fits for you, then adopt, in other words, find your personal way to connect with the universe. That's my number one thing. And number two, know that you're not alone on this journey. It's like just asking a question. I always ask the universe questions. How? Now, I don't ask, well, when am I going to get my next $1 million, universe? When am I going to get my television on OWN? When am I going to have a radio show that's broadcasted all over the world? No, those aren't the kind of questions I ask. I ask the universe, how can I connect, align with you more than I am today? How can my connection get deeper? How can I be the example of the universe, which is unconditional love, total acceptance, non-judgmental, sharing, how can I get my personal vibration to a different energy? So I ask those kind of questions. That's what I want. I don't really want any material things. I mean, I used to. Not to say that material things are not, like you said, they're nice, of course. But as far as substance, something that's going to sustain me throughout my life, throughout all the challenges, I need my connection stronger.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to hear Rebecca Norrington's message today, you can go to my website after the show or at any time, thoughtsmakeyouwealthy.com, and we'll have the link up there so you can hear Rebecca's comments, non-judgmental comments about being judgmental. Because a lot of us, if you follow, I hope I did not confuse you with that, ladies and gentlemen, we are all around judgmental people, and Rebecca spoke to that, what that says about the person, but most importantly, it detracts from happiness. If audience is interested in coming to your workshop, The Importance of Happiness, where does it take place? How often and how can they sign up, please, Rebecca?
Well, the it's actually a class, and each quarter there's different sessions. So it's at the City of Arcadia, the Recreation Department, City of Arcadia in California. That's Southern California. But you can also, in my radio show, Saturday and Sunday, 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio, and I have a section. The show is Ask Rebecca Anything. So if you have issues, personal issues, or challenges that you want to call in to discuss, then that's what I do. I'm the spiritual Dear Abby, if you will.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, please go ahead.
I also want to mention this is something that I just thought of while you were asking the questions. You know, because I get these questions a lot about being around negative people, being around that kind of influence and that kind of energy. And I say, and this is what I say about that. So when you walk into a dark room and you turn on the light, what happens to the darkness?
The darkness goes away. When you turn on, are you going to a dark room, you say, and then you turn a light on?
Yes.
Then there's light, and
that's right.
There's
the
no
darkness,
more darkness.
That's right. The darkness disappears. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about these negative energies and these people that are, quote, negative, because, quite frankly, I am the light switch, and so is every person in the audience. You are that light switch. So be so bright and get to a level, grow to a level, consciously grow to a level that you're so bright, the negativity, the darkness disappears whenever you enter the room.
Mm. You are the light when you walk into the room.
That's right. And everybody in your audience is the light also.
Everybody
so really,
else is the light.
Yeah, we are light. And so it's really a choice. You choose. You choose how you want to live. One of my favorite quote from Abraham, Esther Hicks, Abraham, is you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. You cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. This life is about the journey. It's not about, for me, in my opinion, it's not about, I want a goal. This is my goal, and now I accomplished the goal, and I got to make another goal. I don't even do that. I just talk to my class, goals? No. I do what I'm inspired to do, and living in the moment. And if I'm living in the moment, and I listen, and I'm tuned into my inspiration, and I'm aligned with the universe, I will be so busy that, number one, this self-improvement and this personal growth, trust me, you never get bored. There's always something to do. Always.
Well, you bring up, and we just have a few minutes left, Rebecca, but briefly you talked about expectations earlier. Could you spend a minute, I know you could spend a week or a year on this or a lifetime, between separating goals and what you said, aspirations, the passions, with expectations? Can you address that in just about a minute and a half?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Now, let me just say this. This actually just came up a couple of weeks ago, and I was talking to one of my students, and she asked me, she says, well, I have to set goals because then I won't accomplish anything. And see, this is one of the things that I actually wrote in my book about my opinion is your opinion. She feels, my student really feels strongly that she has to set goals. And so what I do is I accept her perspective and I accept what she says, and because she does have to set goals. Mm-hmm. I don't set any goals anymore because I am living off of my inspiration in every moment, meaning that even if I'm driving and I say, well, I usually go turn right here at the street, I always turn right. And the universe, for whatever reason, says, no, don't turn right here. Let's go down another couple blocks. Okay, that's what I do. It's really about living with that internal voice that directs you and guides you throughout every moment.
Well said. Beautifully said. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want to get in touch with Rebecca, as she said, her radio show is live every Saturday and Sunday at 7 a.m. Pacific, Reality Spirituality. You can ask Rebecca anything. And that's Saturday and Sunday, and they can the link go to realityspirituality.com. That's realityspirituality, no space, .com. Is that correct, Rebecca?
Yes, and sometimes that link it depends on the server, but you could just go to Blog Talk Radio, and you can just search Reality Spirituality, or you could search my name, Rebecca Norrington, either way.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's and you can follow, and you can follow me on Twitter at R.L. Norrington, follow me on Twitter, and then I'm on Facebook. Reality Spirituality is on Facebook also, so.
Okay, Twitter and Facebook, R.L. Norrington on Twitter. And Rebecca has a book, Reality, Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness. I hope you have a good introduction of that, ladies and gentlemen. Go out and find the book. You can go back to her website, RebeccaNorrington.com or Amazon.com or Lulu.com, and buy the book. Enjoy the book. Rebecca, I'm going to put you on the spot. Can you give me about 30 seconds, no more? What do you think is the greatest gift a person can give to themselves?
Ooh-wee, what a terrific question. I think the greatest gift a person can give, I'm going to give to myself, is on my deathbed, I am going to be able to smile. And I'm not going to look back and have any regrets, because it's not about things, it's not about stuff, it's not about accomplishments. It's really about how I'm feeling. It's a feeling of satisfaction. It's a feeling of wholeness. It's a feeling of contentment. It's a feeling of peace. It's a feeling of trust and flowing through this life without resistance, without resisting reality. And if there is something that you don't like, change your perspective and see how that works. But it's really about practicing. If happiness is important, put it into practice.
That is beautifully said. Ladies and gentlemen, join me, please, in thanking Rebecca Norrington. Rebecca, you're a beautiful woman. On behalf of our Wealthy Thoughts listeners, thank you so very much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us. You're a joy. And would you be so kind to come back on to Wealthy Thoughts?
I would love to. Can I do this again tomorrow?
Love to. Anytime. We're going to do this again and again. So let's stay in touch. We love you. We hug you. And keep passing the happiness energy out. We feel it. And we honor you for the great work you're doing on helping everybody discover the source of the happiness, which is on the other side of the mirror, right in the mirror, it's themselves. Thank you very, very much, Rebecca Norrington, and we look forward to staying
Thank
in touch
you.
With you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
My
Ladies
pleasure.
And gentlemen,
My
pleasure. I hope you get in touch with Rebecca, buy her book, and listen to her radio show, Reality Spirituality. Folks, if any of you are going through divorce or actually divorced or searching for solutions to debt, relief from pain, or a fun route to a better love life than before, please enjoy my free webinar at thoughtsmakeyouwealthy.com. That's thoughtsmakeyouwealthy.com. Remember, and this is what Rebecca talked about, whatever you talk about, think about, write about, and visualize is what you attract. Therefore, why not make success, love, wealth, and joy the focus of your attention? We'll see you again soon, folks, for another presentation of Wealthy Thoughts. This is Richard Levy in Flower Mound, Texas, reminding you to love, appreciate, admire, and value the most important person on the planet, and that is you. We'll see you again soon, dear friends. Bye-bye for now.
Thank you for inviting positive success into your life this week on Wealthy Thoughts. Please join host Richard Levy again. And this week, think of something positive you can do to bring success to yourself and others.